B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub and
Friends.
Hello!
Celtics will open up a three-game road trip tonight against the Magic in Orlando. This is a rather delicate time for the Green after a bad home loss Monday, followed by the accusations of Marcus Smart afterwards. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell have the pregame at 6:30 and the tip-off at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics are 2-5 and did not list anyone on their injury report yesterday. The NFL trade deadline came and went yesterday afternoon. Patriots did not make a move. They'll be back at practice this afternoon with a game against Stephon Gilmore and the Carolina Panthers coming up Sunday afternoon. The Las Vegas Raiders last night released 2020 first-round draft pick Henry Ruggs. He was charged with two felonies in connection with a car crash that left one person dead early yesterday morning. In baseball news, the Atlanta Braves are World Series champions today. They beat the Astros in Houston last night 7-0 to finish things off in six games. Manager Brian Snitker saw his team build a big lead early, but refused to think about that.
I spent the whole game not letting myself, especially when we scored runs, not letting myself get ahead of things. No, it's really, really good. Really good. Yeah. My wildest dreams. I never thought I'd be sitting up here talking to you guys.
Braves win for the first time in 26 years. Jorge Soler hit a monster three-run homer in last night's victory. He was named the World Series MVP, and the Bruins are off until tomorrow night when they will be at TD Garden to play Detroit. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Tullamore Drew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy the game with a triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time, Tully time. Please drink responsibly. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 6:30.
Bob Sosie calls the plays.
Open. Touchdown, Patriots!
And so does thou.
Yeah.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Season four, your mom's a whore. Pizza time.
Hit me like a bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hey, baby, wake up from your sleep. We have arrived onto the future, and the whole world is become electronic, supersonic, electronic. Hey, baby, ride with me away. We doesn't have much time. My blue jeans is tight, so onto my love rocket climb. Inside tank of fuel is not fuel, but love. Above us, there is nothing above, but the stars above.
All systems gone. Prepare for a down count.
5, 4, 3, 1. Off blast. Fly away in my space rocket. You no need to put money in my pocket. The door is closed, I just lock it. I put my cock plug in your socket. Hey, love crusader, I want to be your space invader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or the Twitch app. You'll want to follow 98.5 The Sports Hub to get all that info and see us. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985. There is, I get an email every day. You guys might get it too. I don't even know how I get it, but I do. It's like an industry newsletter, and it's always got news. There's always news, mm-hmm. always hirings and firings and news. And there is a kid named Kid Kelly. He's in the Radio Hall of Fame, apparently. Now, what is the kid thing? Because you worked for a guy named Kid Craddock.
You with two D's. K-I-D-D.
Yes, but hey, dumb dog.
That's right.
So what is the significance of kid?
Now, I think in like...
I'm not against, I have to say this now, I'm not against radio names. I mean, I misspell my last name, so technically I have a radio name.
That was a thing, I think, in like the mid-90s, where there was a slew of radio DJs who added kid to their names. There was like Kid Carson, Kid Kelly, Kid Craddock, Billy the Kid. Matter of fact, I worked on a station that had Kid Craddock in the morning and Billy the Kid at night.
I wonder if they made him call himself Billy the Kid.
I don't know.
So they could bookend the kids.
So there was kids there, but no, it was a thing for a while. Like there's several different radio monikers that find ways of what was the other one that was there for a while? We actually have a guy here who goes by Cadillac, and when growing up, I knew two other Cadillacs in radio, so that was another one that was kind of around for a while, too.
What's funny, though, is that, like, you know, there's Crash, and we have a friend, Axel, whose real name is Andy, and Crash's real name is obviously Chris, and I still call them by their radio name.
Oh, sure.
I mean, Hardy's name's not Hardy.
Right.
It's Rob, and I still call him Hardy, so my phone is Hardy.
Adam 12, I call him Adam 12. I don't call him Adam.
Yep.
Yeah. Sometimes I call him 12.
Sometimes I call him 12 too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I talk to him all the time. And I still call him by his radio name. But one thing I don't like is when they make the quotes. So this guy who is in the Radio Hall of Fame, he's obviously gonna tape himself because he's gonna be on in these like garbage markets. And so he's obviously they offered him some money and it will take 5 minutes. You can if you're a DJ, you can tape it at home. And it doesn't take you very long because you're not talking that much. So it takes, like, to do a four-hour show, like, 25 minutes or something. But then, like, so the guy who is the PD of this station, not this station, but the station that this kid guy is going to, says, also, when we worked together at Z100, he took my 2001 Honda Accord for a joyride, and my insurance premiums have never come down, so I'll need to speak to him about that, exclamation point. That's not... funny. And I don't know if you can't think of something that's legitimately funny, why you would try. That's not funny at all.
I don't know. I mean, it's a throwaway quote.
yeah, but they asked us for quotes. They asked us for quotes, and you just say, yeah, it's whatever. Good.
Yeah, I don't try to do my show on the quote.
Well, no, it's not going to work.
Right. You just you give a good quote, and there you go. That's it.
It's like, yeah, you don't go to a stand-up like, hey, do your act.
Right.
Studio, like you're in front of the mic.
I'm not doing a one-liner, you know.
I was listening to the Chip Chipperson podcast, and he asked this comedian, he had this comedian studio, and he goes, because he does the character Chip, he's like, what's your first joke? And she just goes, no. No. But then there's this guy who died, and handle this with care. He's old, so like it's not like, you know, some tragedy. But his name, he was a radio promotions guy, and his name was John, and his last name was Fagot.
Okay.
He must have pronounced it Fagot.
I mean, but talk about it. Can you think, do you know anything, one with a worse
yes.
last name?
Yes. I'm not kidding you. I went to, and at the time when I'm a kid, I didn't understand why it was bad until I got older. But his name was Michael Hunt, and he went by Mike.
Yeah, but that's like, not as bad as
no,
Fagot.
Yeah.
Saying Mike Hunt every day when the teacher is doing the role is pretty awful.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a great thing, but I'm saying it's...
That last it's thing, you look at it, and you're like, oh, man.
I mean, this guy's dead, and I'm looking at the mini obituary on him and looking at his name. If Mike Hunt is someone who's, you know, obituary, it's not maybe occurring to me. But, I mean, you got to give this guy credit. He spent 78 years on the earth. And he was in an industry where you can easily just make up a name.
Sure.
Promotions guys are no better than radio guys.
Maybe that was his radio name.
That's genius.
Maybe that's what he... Because he knew people would talk about
that it. That would be brilliant in the age of Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, let's just get this out of the way. Focus on this.
Yep.
Like, so if you focus on my last name, and you just, like, cut on my last name... It's like a magic trick. Like, I'm distracting you with my last name. Now, sure. Look what I can get away with.
Yeah. I guarantee you, if I look up some sort of... It's a marketing person. It's not a radio person.
No, right? It's a marketing
person. Okay, because I was about to say, if it was a radio person, I could actually... You can find audio clips of how they pronounce it, but I bet they went with Fajot.
Don't you have to add, like, some sort of European umlaut or something if you're going to do that?
or whatever.
The tail, like, on the G?
Or accent over the O, like a little apostrophe mark.
But I don't know. How would I signal that with...
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Would the
French GQ thing? Like, it turns into a Q.
The tail on the G.
Boy, we're so sophisticated. I don't even know what that's called.
Well, who uses it? I don't even know if you can type it on an American keyboard.
You might not be able to.
But I got to give this guy credit. He looks like a happy fella, and he went through his life with that last name. I don't know any. I really don't know anyone who had an unfortunate name like that.
If I was him. I wouldn't change the pronunciation. I just think it'd be hysterical just to stand up and go, "Hey, my name's blah 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 blah," and just see what people's reactions.
At 45, but when you're a kid, sure, when you're and a everything kid. Is bothering you, I mean that's like a boy named Sue. I mean that toughens you up, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, everyone went to school with a kid with the last name Butts, right? I mean, there was a kid who was a couple grades ahead of me. His name was Jeff Butts, and he was a big kid too, which didn't help.
And the thing is, like, we played in the Silverdome when I was in Pee Wee football, and, like, the guy, you know, didn't spend any time looking at the names, and he said, like, Fred Toe Toucher. So, like, if this guy runs on the field at the Silverdome when he's in eighth grade, mm-hmm. I think this guy's saying Fajot. like, right. I mean, you know, like...
Yeah, right, any announcer or something is, of course,
right, like, your teacher is going to, like, spend extra time on it. But, like, any announcer right. or anything that's not paying attention.
That's a kid that gets pulled aside before class. And they go, yes. Hey, how do I pronounce this? Just want to make sure I say it right.
I can only imagine the hoops you have to jump through now with people's names.
Well, I mean, now it's about, it's more about pronouns than anything. And that is something that I know that a lot of teachers, especially college teachers, are going with.
But
they want to make sure they get that right.
But now, like, the joke of, like, I'll never be able to pronounce your name right is considered by many to be a microaggression towards people from different cultures, which would be a landmine. I would just have to tap out. I would just be like, dude, I can't do this.
Sure.
I'm not going to ever be able to pronounce your names, and I'm going to get in trouble. So I'll just see you on the dusty trail. Like,
yeah.
This is never going to happen. It's not a microaggression, dude. You just got a lot of consonants in a row. No one can pronounce my name right. But what am I going to do? Microaggressions it is. I'll see you guys down the road. I'm working at Quiznos.
Somebody sent us a clip. Thank you, Jason. Of, I guess, on the Love Connection, there was a gentleman whose name was Robert, F-A-G-O-T as well. And I guess that what Chuck Woolery... It was having a hard time.
Well, I don't think Chuck Woolery cares very much for the people that would slight.
Right, the way that he's been tweeting lately.
Oh, no, he is. Right of Genghis Khan.
Baby. I've seen that.
Yeah, I think that's like a funny joke to him.
Yeah. I mean, there's been, I've had people, Butts. There was a fairly large person whose last name was Berger that I went to school with. I mean, unfortunate ones, yeah. But I think Michael Hunt was the worst. And as I said, when I was in fifth grade, I had no idea. Like,
sure.
I never even think about it until I got into high school. And I was like, oh, my goodness gracious.
There was only one. Camp Young Judea, there's a kid my age in my bunk. His name was Richard Liss, L-I-S-S.
Oh, Dick Liss.
That was pretty good.
Oh, that's a bad one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Camp Young Judea, though, I would hope that you guys kept the titter.
Oh, yeah, we kept it real strong. We were very mature at the age of 11.
I mean, if you're going Camp Young Judea. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I had a sixth-grade history teacher named Miss Wiener. Miss Wiener. She didn't marry into the name, and she read us the Canterbury Tales.
Oh, the Canterbury Tales. Rich is very familiar with the Canterbury
Tales. I am.
I've
always thought it was... I mean, if you got the name Wiener, it's like the most ironic one was, of course, Anthony Wiener, right, who was taking a picture of himself and right, sending it out. Right. I mean, that's just... What were some of the headlines in the New York Post, too?
Oh, I mean, they had a few.
Wiener Exposed, yeah. I think, was one of them.
They don't even need Wiener, though. They did Osama bin Wacken.
Wanken.
Which is, there's no clever.
I like Wacken, though. That's actually funnier.
Wacken is funnier than Wanken.
Wacken is much funnier than
But Rich is right, it is Wanken. So, okay. Maybe they figured they couldn't get away with Wacken.
Here's some of the headlines from the New York Post. When Anthony Wiener, who was he a congressman at the time or senator? I forget. But he ended up taking pictures of his privates and sending it out. I mean, the headlines are just phenomenal.
I have 20 of them here.
Wiener Exposed.
Wiener's Second Coming.
Yeah, Wiener, I'll Stick It Out.
Wiener Roast.
Can't Keep Wiener Down.
Hide the Wiener.
Then there's one where he ends up, like, he was in hiding for a while, and he ended up showing his face as his wiener pops out.
Pop Goes the Weasel. That's my favorite.
And his wife was Uma. Remember her? Or Huma? I forgot how you pronounce it. There's one where I guess she got angry at him, so it says, Huma cuts off Wiener. Obama beats Wiener.
All right. So if you've ever seen the documentary on Anthony Wiener, he's in self-sabotage mode.
Yeah, I know.
I wonder. I mean, he's self-sabotaged himself. I mean, he came back from the first incident and then had to do it again.
It was crazy. And like he was like, when you say come back, it looked like he was all of a sudden getting respect. People had written off what he had done.
I think he was like going to be the governor or something.
Anthony Wiener tells Post he won't step down, and then there's the headline: Wiener, I'll stick it out.
All right, so I wonder, since his last name
Wiener's
was...
Rise and Fall.
Hung out to dry.
I wonder, since his last name was Wiener, he kind of, like, just... It kind of led him to doing that.
What's that called? A self...
It's self-sabotage.
No, self-something prophecy.
Oh, like, self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah,
right, right. It's because with that name, it's like, well, I got to be the Wiener guy.
Yeah, yeah. I just wonder if that had something... I wonder if really, like, mentally it had something to do with it.
Anthony Wiener skips the parade for backers. Hide the Wiener, it says underneath it. I mean, the minute that the New York Post... That's not even. You don't even have to punch in to make these headlines. They're so easy.
No, they didn't. They're not trying too hard.
Wiener's Rise and Fall might be my favorite.
How funny would it be if he had to wear an eye patch and it said One Eyed Monster?
Hey, Carlos Danger was his online thing. Yes,
Carlos Danger. How cool. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, well, let's get to the big World Series game last night. You have, it's funny, that Braves team, it's amazing what they went through and were able to win it. We will get to that. Also, what happened to the big three-run blast ball that was shot outside of the park? There's a guy who has it. He wants a lot of cash for it.
Yeah, I wonder if there was a picture of Anthony Wiener out in front of the... out in front of the stadium would be like Wiener shoots outside park. All right. Or if he was taking pictures out in front of the park. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Talking about the game is no game.
You were listening. You were enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
Guy that won the Virginia governor's race looks pretty cool. This cool dude.
much.
All right. There was a dong, dong, diggity, dong, dong, dong.
Yep.
Last night. Yep. And there was a couple of dongs, but there was one dong.
There was one that was a dong amongst them all, and it's amazing. They were the worst team to make the postseason this year, and now, dong alert!
He attacks and smokes one to deep left. This one's going supersonic. That is out of the ballpark. Whoa! Over the train tracks, it's 3-0 Atlanta. And Jorge Soler lands the first punch here in the top of the third inning.
The Braves, they were barely a .500 team all the way into August. They lost their entire outfield, including, of course, Ronald Acuna Jr. We were talking about how big of a hit that would have been to most teams. They still won a championship. Last night, a no-doubter on both sides of the ball. Not only did you have that dinger right there, Fred, an absolute missile
to start things off. Recently pulled a Jorge Soler signed card, which might be up on Fred T. Sales on eBay.
Was
along
that a box break type deal, or what was
I
that?
I just pulled it from a pack of cards. But you stay in the game long enough, Johnny, you're going to pull these. But someone's holding on to a Max Fried Topps clearly authentic signed rookie.
Mm. Well, I'm telling
you. If you want to do business, email me.
You got a little value after yesterday.
I mean, today's the day to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, by the way, when he got stepped on first base in the first inning, if that was a regular season game, he would have been out for like 8 weeks.
Oh, sure.
But it's the World Series.
Yep. And after that, he ended up pitching the game of his life. As you said, 6 shutout innings. He was dialed in. Fried afterwards was asked about getting stepped on and then bouncing back.
Brantley stepped on your ankle. After that, they had 2 on, none out. What happened at that point? Did something click in for you?
To be honest, it was one of those things where I just didn't want the inning to get out of hand the way that it did in the last outing. A couple of ground ball base hits, next thing you know, it's 4 runs on the board, and it was basically one of those moments where I said that I want to be able to try to stop it and just let everything that I had, and was luckily able to get out of it.
So that Soler home run, it's like the instant the wood hit the ball, he knew that it was gone. Like, he didn't even look. He didn't even watch it leave. He just turned to the dugout and just, like, stared at him for a minute.
Max Fried and Jack Flaherty, the Cardinals ace, went to high school together, and they did not win a state title.
Whoa.
They had Fried and Flaherty. Fried, who throws 98. Flaherty, who probably throws 96. So figure back in high school, 94 and 92.
Yeah.
Not a state title.
16-year-olds leading off, and you got to face that.
Yeah,
that's tough.
But not good enough to take home any bacon, my friend.
By the way, every time you play Ken Rosenthal, I'm sorry. Every time you play it, and I listen to him question someone on the field with, you know, the crowd in the background.
You can hear his erection?
No, I think Gomes.
It's my favorite. Put it this way.
Can you not think Gomes when you hear him do
anything
that?
Anything bad I ever said about Ken Rosenthal, I immediately took back. He can do no wrong in my eyes, because when they won the World Series, Ken Rosenthal asked Johnny Gomes this.
Johnny, you just instructed me what to ask you. The team was 10-1 with you starting in the postseason. How'd that happen?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of saber metrics and there's a lot of numbers and stuff, you know, the whole war stat, you know, but when we go to playoffs, you know, it's, you want me to go to war with, you know, so, man, I say I work inside a museum, but this is the loudest a museum's been in a long time.
Can you imagine Johnny goes, hey, I can't get, ask me, ask
yes,
me.
I can.
I need you to ask me, why is the team 10-1 when I'm playing? Just, I need you to ask me that. Ask me that on TV. I've got a really super cool answer that I practiced in the mirror for an entire week, ready to go. Come on, ask me.
And
Russell's like, oh, all right, jackass. Johnny Jones, you just instructed me to ask you this question. What makes you so great?
Do you think that if Gomes is at a bar in Boston, anyone cares?
No.
No. Is saying something.
No. Yeah.
Now, if Napoli was in a bar, everyone's giving the dude drinks. Like,
you're
he's the king of the bar.
Shirt off walking down the street.
Now, that guy was a legend. When they won, I mean, he was, you know, you saw not just the pictures. He went over to, was it McGreevy's, where he had his shirt off and he was serving drinks. That's the kind of guy you want to hang out with. Johnny Gomes was a tryhard, man. And after, of course, what he did at the Royals Parade, which was hysterical because he didn't even play.
Gomes at the Royals Parade. So Gomes at the Royals Parade, if you haven't been listening to us for years, when the Royals won the World Series, Johnny Gomes was not on their playoff roster. He did not participate in the playoffs. He did not have the option to participate in the playoffs. He was not taking batting practice, I would imagine. He was doing none of that. So they get to the Royals parade, and then they get to the like stage where they're on. And I'm listening to the, I used to listen to different radio shows on the way home in different markets, and I was listening to the Johnny Dare Morning Show. We used to share an agent. Johnny Dare Morning Show in Kansas City, and they're watching the thing live, or they were, they're talking about it, and they're like, who is the a-hole with the flag?
Well, he wanted to get on the mic because he kept poking the guy in the butt with the American flag until they gave him the microphone.
And yeah, he was walking around with the American flag. Again, a guy who wasn't on the postseason roster and, like, bothering everyone. And he was such an unknown to the point where a highly rated morning show was asking who he was.
Alex Gordon, Alex Gordon, Alex Gordon, Alex Gordon.
Okay.
The Cincinnati. Not there.
And then like, he started talking about himself. It's one thing to be talking about the other players, which is still, you've got no place to do that. But then it was like,
y'all want to be politically correct? I'm the unpolitically correct person. We whooped their ass.
You didn't do anything. You were just kind of watching.
Yeah, but he like did say ass, which was very brave.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what they did.
He was just fantastic.
I think that he believed that he would be a much bigger deal than he is.
Oh, of course.
Which is gives me some satisfaction.
See you guys next year.
No.
No, we won't. Not at all, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, like he thought.
Not anywhere.
Yeah, no.
Not even in Japan. You only play there for like a week, and then I think they were sick of you.
Yeah, but I mean, in his mind, he thought he was going to be, you know, a big deal, like off the field.
Yeah.
You know, doing games and everything else. And
Nesson tried him out, you remember.
Yeah, Nesson, he's terrible.
Nesson did try him out.
We whooped their ass!
Yeah, that didn't last long.
Oh, Johnny Gomes, where have you gone? So the dude that has Soler's home run ball is kind of an interesting story. He saw it land from his apartment, like just outside of the stadium, outside Minute Maid Park, into this weird fenced off area outside of the ballpark. And he and his girlfriend say that they ran 8 minutes to get it because nobody saw where it had landed. And they, from the view of their apartment, were the only ones who could really see it. And so they ran up, and I guess it's officially a fenced off area that they weren't allowed to get into, and there was security there. And he said that his girlfriend distracted the security guys. Wonder how she did that.
Probably two fun bags.
Might have been.
A couple fun bags to go.
Bit like a fun bag of Rooney situation.
Yeah, probably, if you're asking me.
He hopped the fence and nabbed it just before, I guess, a bunch of other security guys went looking for it. And now he wants $1 million for it.
Yeah, no problem. $1 million.
Although, you know what? After the whole Tom Brady situation, having that ball, at least he's holding on to it. At least, because I guess there's been people who say, well, I just give it to him. I mean, this is meant a lot.
Why the hell would I give him the ball? He's also screw you.
My whole thing is, dude, he's also an Astros fan. Why would he give it to the Braves? Why would he give it to anybody on the Braves?
I don't care if you're a fan of anyone. Money's money. That doesn't belong to him. And it's not some lifetime thing. It's not his, you know, 800th home run or something. It was a random home run. Now
that's a big home run to obviously the Braves. Like, that means a ton.
Yeah, I know, but it wasn't the game winning home runner, I guess. Well, technically it was because they shut him out.
Yep.
But nonetheless, I mean, it didn't set a record or anything. So anyway, the value of the ball, he better get rid of it today, because I can't think that ball's incredibly valuable.
I bet he could get six figures for it.
Yeah.
I bet like Soler or somebody would give him $100,000 for that ball.
Yeah.
That's one that I say that he will get some cash.
Yeah. No, I think he'll get money. I think $100,000 is fair.
So it's like, I'll take $1 million for, you know what? Don't put that out into the universe. Got no problem with him doing that.
Yeah. I don't either. That's the memorabilia. No one's going to give you anything for free.
I just love that ball sat there for about 10 minutes before anyone even thought to look for it. And it was these guys who like were a couple blocks away who saw it from their window. They're like, dude, is nobody going to get that? And they ran as fast as they could. And as soon as they got it, that's when apparently someone from Major League Baseball came out and started looking for it.
You know what's funny is that if they were offering up like memorabilia in exchange for it, I wouldn't take anything that was from anyone on the active roster. I'd take it all from Acuña Jr. I think, I mean, the only...
Not even Freddie Freeman?
No. Freeman's not a Hall of Famer. Acuña Jr. has a chance to be a Hall of Famer.
Well, Freeman's going to get paid. That's one thing we can agree on. Because this is the end of his contract, right?
But he's old, and he's going to want to stay in Atlanta, probably.
Well, Freed also, isn't that the end of his contract as well? I think both of those guys just made a ton of money.
So I can, guy can sell this clearly authentic signed rookie card. I mean, there can't be many of them out there. But if you were offering me memorabilia in exchange for the ball, I'd only want Acuña Jr. I wouldn't want anyone that was on the field. I'd just go, give me all the Acuña Jr. Because can you think of anyone, John, else that was on that field that you would want?
No. And I looked up Freeman because he's been so productive for so long. Freeman right now
is he
32.
Old? Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's 32.
He's 32, but he spent his entire career in Atlanta, which is why it seems like he's been around forever.
Okay, so everything I've read about free agency is that Freeman's kind of just like wants to stay in Atlanta, and it is what it is.
Yeah, he's I mean, Freeman's good. I mean, he's a, what, 5-6-time All-Star, whatever it is.
He also was huge in the postseason.
No, I know that, but I think he falls under the just under Harold Baines category. I mean,
oh, he's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
I think that's what Rich is trying to
do. No. I'm saying
Rich isn't saying that. Rich is saying he's going to get money in the offseason.
Acuña is a guy, I agree with you, Acuña is the guy that if he stays healthy could make the Hall of Fame. And Freeman does want to stay in Atlanta. So,
yeah, so I think Freeman's going to sign two, three-year deal.
Getting back to the home run ball real quick, I mean, it's not that valuable simply because it wasn't a game-winning home run. The ball of balls, which I think he still has, is Joe Carter's homer to win the 93 World Series.
Well, the reason this one's valuable to the Braves is that
stayed in the ballpark. I was actually at that game. That stayed in the ballpark. It landed in the Jays' bullpen.
But say what you will about
Daddy's Boy or whatever the hell the name of the movie was with Sandler. That showcased around John Stewart went out and got that girl pregnant in Toronto.
Daddy's
home?
Home? Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
That's it. That's right. Yeah.
John Stewart was just up there knocking up strangers in Toronto around that home run back in 93.
I think that's going to be the number one thing people remember about that game, though. Like Braves fans and the Braves, it's that hit. So that's why that ball is obviously going to be worth a ton. But as far as the Braves are concerned,
I mean, it's
unbelievable what they did. Yeah,
it truly is, Johnny Gomes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're interested in, capitalizing on this free kid or
plug it again. Come on, give us the.
Well, it's Fred T. Sales, but I haven't put it up yet.
All right.
You'd email me, and maybe we could broker a deal.
Just wait until it goes live, and then get your bids out.
We're going live. I have something up there right now. I can't remember who the player is. But
what if you're at a grocery store and the guy right next to you in line is pointing at you and yelling at you? Are you going to go get security or you going to do something right there?
Yeah, I'm going to get security. I'm
security at the grocery store.
Ryan Justin says, I'm taking care of it myself. That's what Ryan Johnson said to him afterwards.
What kind of question is that? I'm going to fight the guy. I'm going to get arrested. Yes, I'm going to do
at a grocery store.
Because he's pointing at me.
Well,
I'm going to murder him.
A mental homeless person. I mean, there's not too many. Even though I had to drive, I lost my mind again driving yesterday. I had to drive to Waltham at 5 and then drive back.
God.
And then my daughter wouldn't eat what we were eating, so I had to get this burrito for her. And I'm pulling out of the burrito place, like I had parallel parked, and I'm pulling out. And there's a line of traffic, and I, make it known that I'm going to go out, like, when the traffic starts again. And the guy just goes, woof, just woof. And I went insane. And now my daughter, I think, is afraid of me. I mean, I lost it. I went crazy. I almost got out of the car again.
Really?
I'm losing my mind with people around here. Okay. I don't know what happened during COVID and when people weren't driving, but it's gotten completely out of hand. People are in effing sane. They're insane. They're insane. They're driving like insane people. I mean, it's 8-point turns from semis in the middle of the road. But then again, I drive back from this hellhole. So we'll see what happens. All right. We'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Da-da-da-da, it's all I want to say to you.
All right, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
So the Patriots didn't do anything at the trade deadline. I know, big surprise. But one name that many people are tying the Patriots to is DeSean Jackson, who was released by the Rams yesterday. Now, things didn't quite work out in L.A. the way he wanted it to. In his six games this year, Jackson had a total of 13 targets and only 8 catches. His best outing came against Tampa Bay, where he caught 3 passes for 120 yards and a touchdown.
Most of that was on one deep ball.
And he's been bad for 3 years. He's barely played.
Didn't he play with Tampa Bay the year before that? Am I wrong?
He's not been good for 3 years. His last decent year was, I believe, 2018.
Wasn't he on the Tom Brady's team the year before? Am I getting that wrong? I guess not. Where has he been? Is this his first year with the Rams?
He was with Tampa in 2018. He was in Philly the last 2 years.
Oh, okay, that's right. So he was with Tampa, and then he ended up moving there. Yeah, that's right, to Philly.
He's not good. He's not a good player.
No, he's not. And
you signed Aguilar.
Well,
I mean, he's Aguilar.
But Aguilar's not a deep threat.
He's supposed to be a deep threat. Aguilar is the deep threat.
But has he been used? I mean, he did that one last week, but that's not...
Aguilar's a deep threat. That's what he is.
He's supposed to be.
Well, that's what he is.
They signed him for that, but he hasn't been one of those guys that will take the top off the defense.
Which is what DeSean Jackson
is a one-route wide receiver.
DeSean Jackson.
Still speedy.
Okay. You signed Aguilar.
I know.
To be your outside, take the top off the defense threat.
But what? But if DeSean Jackson comes cheap and you don't have to spend a lot of money on him, and Aguilar hasn't been the deep threat that he was supposed to be when you signed him and he drops a ton of balls, maybe this guy can help you. That's all.
Okay. I think DeSean Jackson, people want him because they remember him from fantasy football from 5 years ago. And I think that's exactly why people went to Sean Jackson.
Well, I mean, I'm not really for this move, unless, as John said, you could get him dirt cheap and he was just a guy you throw in there.
Okay, and then he would be on the team and you would never see him.
You might be right.
And you could piss off Aguilar. Because he is...
Or would that free up Aguilar a little bit?
No. Would you have two guys just running... just going vertical on every play?
Well, I could see both those guys obviously in on the same plays, but... just being used in different ways. I don't think it's a great move, but if he's cheap, then whatever. But a ton of people, like I've seen, where
targeted,
would DeSean Jackson
go? In 2020, he was targeted 26 times. He had 14 receptions. In 2019, he was targeted 10 times. He had 9 receptions in the year of 2019. In 2018, he was all world. He had 41 receptions. So over the last 3 seasons, he's had a total of 31 catches in the last 3 seasons.
Right, that sounds like a guy that you could hopefully get for close to the minimum. And if that's the case, then great. Okay, I'd have no problem.
And how about the Rams releasing him when they seem to be all in on this season?
Well, that's probably why they released him, is because they've got so much talent there right now.
Yeah, the wide receiver core for the Rams is pretty good.
Yeah, but they're not in the business of getting rid of players. You know how bad you would have to be to get cut from the Rams? The Rams, who are picking up, trading every pick that they have?
I think that was more along the lines of Jackson going to management and said,
I don't want
to be here if you're not going to use me, that kind of thing.
And for management to say, okay, we don't need you, is a testament to just how bad he is.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this. They tried to trade him for a while.
It's just very annoying to me because it's... it's obvious what it is. I mean, it's DeSean Jackson. He was on team one time, fantasy.
Yeah.
And then you look and you go, well, he's terrible. And you signed a guy for a boatload of money to do exactly what DeSean Jackson in his prime was supposed to do.
And Aguilar's been good.
He's been okay.
He's been good. I didn't say he's great. He's been good.
No, he's been certainly not worth his contract. He's been okay. The only reason I look at this, Fred, and go, okay, this
is
makes
because
sense.
You've heard of him and there's no other debate.
No, no, that's not the reason. The reason is if you have a true deep threat, maybe that helps.
Aguilar is a true deep threat.
Well, I looked at DeSean Jackson and look at his yards per catch, and yes, he hasn't been targeted a lot, but when he catches the football, whenever that is, it's 16, 17, 18 yards a catch. There aren't too many guys like that around. I'm not saying
are
he's going to be an impact player that wins
telling me,
everything.
Are you in all seriousness telling me that you're applauding a guy who's had 23 catches over the course of three seasons?
Not applauding it. I'm saying maybe he can help. I'm not saying he's a stud. I'm not saying he's a star. He's a guy that you might be able to get cheap that can make an impact in one aspect of the passing game you don't
who's
have.
Who's another free agent they should sign?
I can't think
of one. I don't really know.
Exactly. Because you had DeSean Jackson on a fantasy team.
That's not true. That's not true at all. I just explained
you have not seen DeSean Jackson play football, I would imagine, in three seasons.
No, I actually saw him make that one deep catch against Tampa that gave him all those yards in the one game Rich was talking about.
Yeah.
He was like
maybe
a 75-yard catch for a touchdown.
It was one of his three catches that day.
It's a good thing you're not a general manager. Because you just point to the shiny thing on TV.
If you only have
you
to pay
him
a million bucks. Yeah.
Matt, go ahead. Matt, finally an understanding voice. Matt, go ahead.
Rich and John, what are you guys talking about? Fred, you are so right on this. They signed Aguilar for a reason. DeSean Jackson is useless. What John doesn't get about Aguilar being a deep threat, I just don't understand why you guys are arguing with Fred.
Thank you. Finally, someone on my side. Very rare.
Yes, I'm very pro DeSean Jackson, seeing that if they could get him for nothing, then maybe. That's basically my opinion.
No, Rich read it because people have been talking about it.
And a lot of people have, yes.
John, because they're idiots. And John's defense of it is very frustrating. Very frustrating.
Why is it frustrating?
Because they... Oh, boy. Because they signed Aguilar to a ton of money to be a deep threat. And then they're going to take literal street trash, because he is literally street trash. They're going to take a broken-down crap receiver who hasn't produced in 3 years and bring him in to do what they signed Aguilar to a big contract to do? It's nonsense.
I'm not saying replace Nelson Aguilar.
Then who? Then what are you going to... Then where are you going to line him up?
It's an added piece that can help. That's all.
So you're gonna take a guy and you're gonna how many receivers positions are there on the field? So you're gonna put him and Aguilar on the field together?
Maybe you do.
Okay, for your big deep ball quarterback.
Look, they obviously want to try
you're in
part
a corner.
Of that. I'm not
give.
No,
give.
I'm not giving anything. Obviously, they had an effort. They made an effort to push the ball down the field yesterday weekend. Correct.
Brandon, go ahead.
Don't break the bank for this guy, but if he comes cheap, why not?
Freddy, how are you?
Because you already signed
him.
How you doing, Brandon?
Good. My point is, listen, adding DeSean Jackson, I mean, it opens up, you know, sneak him in for one quick play downfield when no one's expecting it. I agree.
If he comes on the field, I'm going to be kind of expecting he's just going to do the one thing that he can do.
No, I know, but it don't. See, even if say they go okay, they're going downfield this play. Then you got Hunter Henry open over the middle.
Yeah, that's what Aguilar is.
He's a decoy, Fred. A decoy. Well, one thing we do know, however, is that apparently people thought the Pats win against the Chargers was a big deal. How big? Well, they're moving up power rankings everywhere.
Yeah, the AFC's wide open.
And it's true. And
bring in DeSean Jackson.
Well, then, I mean, listen, they would have been power ranked even higher. So in ESPN's power rankings, the Patriots moved up from 18 to 13. That's two spots ahead of the Chiefs. NFL.com's got them moving from 18 to 15 as well. The Ringer, they're at 13. CBS, 18 to 14. Yahoo, 15 to 13. But the biggest move in the old power rankings multiverse is from USA Today, where they have moved the Patriots from 21st last week to 9th.
Oh, boy.
And if you are staying at a mid-range motel right now, you have that waiting right at your door.
Yep. You are at the courtyard of the NFL. They wrote, quote, New England is this close to a 7-1 record, though the Pats should be 7-4 once week 12 and a date with some old friends from Tennessee rolls around. Power rankings determine championships, and the Patriots cannot be stopped. They are on a roll,
the
baby.
The AFC is wide open, baby. Now,
this part I agree with you on. This part I agree with you on.
Well, listen.
4-4, and everyone's got them deep in the playoffs
John, they're this close to a 7-1
record.
And
you can't even have a space between the this and the close. It has to be one word. This close.
This close.
That's right.
7-1.
All right.
Think about it. And by the way, yesterday, not much of a surprise that Deshaun Watson was not traded. So, Dolphins, sorry, you got to suck it with Tua for a while. Looks like he's going to be your dude.
Well, yeah, and it's a shame because there's no quarterback in this draft. So, they could be picking one with no quarterback. Have they played Jacksonville? No, they haven't because they would have won.
Who's that?
Miami. So, Miami probably still has Jacksonville to play. Or no, was their record too good? Because the Jets are playing them. So, I don't know. All right, but it might come down to Jacksonville, Miami for the first pick of the draft.
Well, Detroit.
Detroit. I forgot
they played Jacksonville and lost. So,
oh, that's right. That was Jacksonville's win. I forgot about that.
Oh, Miami lost to Jacksonville.
Yes. Dude, haven't won since they beat the Patriots.
No, I know. I didn't know that they
a few weeks ago.
That was London.
Oh, that
right?
was the London game.
Yeah.
That was it was like a home game for Jacksonville.
Yes.
All right. So when we come back, frivolity.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.